Well, ladies and gentlemen, good morning. Welcome on over to another episode of Speak the Truth Podcast. You know who I am. And this morning we are going to just go ahead and start diving right into it. I saw AP Payne coming and giving out 10 Speak the Truth memberships. Appreciate it. Today we're going to be going over what took place over inside Idaho. Then we're also going to talk a little bit about Iran because it seems like they are rebuilding their nuclear facilities. At least a report from the IAEA came out and stated that they think that Iran can actually start building nuclear weapons again in just a couple months. New fatwa ends up getting issued against Donald Trump. We're going to go over that. And where'd that fatwa come out of? Iran. Wouldn't you know it? And over inside of Gaza, there is new accusations of genocide taking place. Of course, we can't have a single day inside Gaza without an accusation of genocide, new killings, specifics targeting of civil. Like, it just seems like it's every single day. And they're always wearing press vests. You got to believe it. Everybody over inside of Gaza is a journalist, apparently. You got to freaking love Gaza. And on top of that, it looks like we also had a new report coming out through there from the American contract workers that are saying that their aid workers are getting targeted. They're saying that 12 aid workers, that would be like local national aid workers, not U.S. citizens, to be clear, at least not that's what was reported, actually have been killed so far while distributing, guarding, protecting, escorting humanitarian aid over inside of Gaza. I see somebody saying, what kind of salute was that? I believe that's a firefighter. You know, they don't exactly go through a lot of drill and ceremony training, and I don't think U.S. Army really does it too much anymore anyway. So I'm not even going to give, like, firefighters a hard time. If you really want to see some good GNC, baby, got to check these guys out. Anyways, all right, let's go over this. Listen to the briefing by the sheriff and see what he said about the entire incident.
Enforcement officers that were on scene that were trying to make heads and tails out of what was occurring. And during this time, we exchanged gunfire with the suspect. And we also got information, we received information from the White House, from Kash Patel, the FBI, from Governor Brad Little, and also Raul Labrador, that anything that we needed, that they would absolutely respond. So we had a lot of assets that came into that command post. And then we had a briefing about 6:30, about 18:30 hours at the command post. And in that briefing,
That's right. They found one guy. So to catch you guys up to par, I see you guys asking questions down in the comments section. So it was one guy that they ended up finding, and he was dead when they got to him. They don't know if they're not stating whether or not it was a self-inflicted gunshot wound or if the officers returning fire actually killed him. But all of this came about before, I don't know, probably about an hour and a half after I ended my stream yesterday is when we ended up getting the word that the suspect was down. We were right. They ended up waiting on the sun to go down, then moved in, found his body, and kind of determined everything to be said and done and over. They began moving firefighters back from Washington all the way back into Idaho. That would be the ones that died in this tragic event. Still no motives came out on it. I'm going to go ahead and finish letting the sheriff explain what was going on there.
We kind of gave an update to the agencies that this is still an active shooter, and that as soon as this individual could be neutralized, that he should be neutralized and the threat should be eliminated as quickly as possible. At approximately 1940 hours, we did have information that let me back up just a second. We had a cell phone activation that was in the same spot since about 3:16, and that it was in the same area, and we honed in on that cell phone, and we saw that there was a male appeared to be deceased with a weapon nearby. So we have currently one dead shooter. Based on the preliminary investigation that was being conducted, keep in mind we had a fire that was rapidly it was approaching the body, so we had to scoop up that body, and we had to transport that body to a different location. But based on the preliminary information, we believe that is the only shooter that was on that mountain at that time.
So they're saying, based on the preliminary information, I did get information yesterday that suggested that there was two shooters on the hill. Both of them were brothers. Right now, the sheriff is saying that they only have, based on their preliminary investigation, that it was only one shooter. So they're not saying that they've completed the investigation. They know for a fact it was only one shooter. They're saying that they recovered a body up there, that they ended up, basically having to go get him because the fire was rolling in. And so you got to think about the amount of evidence and everything else that is up there, and what has likely been destroyed by the fire, right? And how hard it's going to be for them to kind of like figure out what exactly took place. But the key is they did say that there was only one cell phone that was pinging up there. Now, that doesn't mean that somebody else wasn't carrying a cell phone, but highly likely that we actually ended up getting some bad information and that there was only one shooter up on that hill. And they ended up coming across and, taking care of them. So that's, as far as I'm concerned, that's a good thing. For those of you guys that are unaware of, what I'm talking about, it's just over, in Idaho, just across the border from Spokane. It was just a horrible incident for us to like go over and watch last night. It was just absolutely ridiculous. Now, on Friday, Trump actually ended up putting out this statement, and I'll have you guys know that there is no, I don't want to say this, there's no indication so far that it is a terror attack that is connected to Iran, that is connected to Nazis. There's none of that information has came out yet. If you guys are hearing anything of that nature, that's just not necessarily true. All right. Trump came out with a statement on Friday. And in this statement, he actually brought up that he pretty much stopped Israel from killing Soleimani. Or I'm sorry, not Soleimani, from Khamenei, the Ayatollah over inside of Iran. So Trump puts it out. Everybody knows. Hey, we basically stopped Israel from killing Iran. You're welcome, Ayatollah. How does Iran repay the United States of America? With a fatwa. Yep, can't make that up. So Trump, who saves Khamenei's life, who makes sure that Khamenei doesn't die, over the weekend gets a freaking death order put out on him. And it was by like a, let me see, I got this guy's name over here who actually issued it. It wasn't, it wasn't the Ayatollah that ended up putting this thing out. It was, where'd his name go? I got it right down over here. I can't even pronounce this dang thing. Big squiggly name. Hold on. Give me a sec. I'm using a big squiggly name. All right. He is the Grand Ayatollah Nasser Makarem Shirazi. All right. And it was a pretty damn serious threat. He's got, no kidding, millions of people that actually follow him. And while it might not be like signed into law by the Iranian government, the thing about this fatwa is that there's millions of people that actually follow the dude and listen to him. All right. It is not a government decree. It's just purely religious. It's not legally binding in any way. And the supreme leader, all right, or the Ayatollah has not issued, I don't want to say this, a similar fatwa yet, right? But it is a moral justification for them to go after and try to take him out. It doesn't necessarily mean that there's going to be an imminent attack on Donald Trump or that there's going to be an imminent attack here on the United States of America because of this fatwa. It simply means that, he wants him dead. I don't know how else to say that. And he's going to use his religious ability to be able to do that, which is really quite sad. Now, at the same time, a new report ended up coming out by the IAEA. And I'm going to go bring this up. By ISW so that you guys can kind of see what's going on with this and that I'm not making this crap up. This is the issue, right? We had the United States government come out and say, listen, we dropped 12 MOPs, right? Massive ordnance penetrator, 30,000 pound GBU-57, dropped 12 of those suckers over Fordow, and it has completely and totally destroyed it and it's sending them back years. However, the International Atomic Energy Agency, the people under the UN that govern and are watching, like basically the UN's nuclear watchdog came out and said, no, that's not the case. As a matter of fact, they believe that Iran can rebuild their nuclear program within just a couple months. And not only can they do it, but they're actively doing it. I'll say it again. Iran is already actively looking to rebuild their nuclear weapons program. This is the same thing that myself and several other people have complained about. You can't just not kill the Ayatollah. He is the main driving factor. And if you leave anything intact, they're going to go back and they're going to try to rebuild it. So what we end up looking at over here is Iran has begun to assess the damage and conduct repairs at Fordow. How do we know that? We know that because of satellite imagery. They list it right here in their key takeaways. The IAEA director, Grassi, said on June 27th that Iran could resume enriching uranium within a matter of months. Can't make that crap up. Matter of months. Iranian President Rouhani, former, said that Iran must restore deterrence, basically keep rebuilding their program. And you've got these really cute satellite images that just kind of go along with it. And you can see throughout all of these different images, and they are open source satellite images. They aren't stolen from anywhere. But as you go through, what you end up seeing is seeing the site. They ended up plowing a brand new road going up to the top of it. They've got construction vehicles, plows, bulldozers, trucks, equipment, all of that crap over there ready to just rebuild Fordo. And they're saying it's only going to take a couple of months for them to be able to do it. They also referenced in the report saying that they might already have a couple of centrifuges up and spinning. So it hasn't even stopped, technically. I mean, maybe it has stopped, but it's not, I don't want to say, not as bad as people are making it out to be. It is as bad as people are making it out to be. Let's be perfectly clear about that. Why are you on my screen? Get off. Oh my goodness. Let me see. Bam. There we go. All right. That made it better. All right. So Grossi said that Iran could have at most a few cascades of centrifuges spinning and producing enriched uranium within months. Iran's highly enriched uranium stockpile reportedly remains largely intact following the U.S. airstrikes. CTP ISW previously noted that the U.S. and Israeli strikes on Fordo and other enrichment facilities could have buried enriched uranium underground to limit its access, but could not have destroyed the material, given that uranium is an element. So it's all shoved down on the ground and buried. Kentucky Aaron coming in, gifting out 5 Speak the Truth memberships. High Desert Marine becoming a true supporter, although I felt that you were already a true supporter. So I don't know how it's just telling me that now. And Robert Reinhart becoming a true supporter. Good to have you on board, my friend. It's always nice to have you guys. So what do we learn from this? Well, we learn that Iran is going to continue to enrich uranium. I don't think there's any doubts about it. I think the revolution that we had all hoped for taking place over inside Iran is basically wiped out. There's reports of mass executions taking place across Iran. And while I have some images of them taking place, let me tell you right now, I can't show you. I can't show you. Different amounts of people being hung in the streets, suspected massage agents being rounded up. And it looks like the Ayatollah and the IRGC is cracking back down on the Iranian people. I was in a space this weekend, listening to people talk about it, and they're hoping and dreaming that all of this is going to take place. And a lot of people are blaming Trump for Iran's regime still being in power. But the thing for everybody to remember is you don't know exactly what was happening behind the scenes and whether or not there was some deal made between the United States, Russia, Israel, Iran, China, any of these other freaking nations in the area for keeping the Ayatollah alive, because there could have been something worse waiting just around the corner if we would have taken them out. It's a little bit shocking to me that still exists, that Iran is still enriching uranium at this point or attempting to move to enrich uranium. Trump has already basically declared the matter closed. I haven't heard anything new come out about whether or not they are or aren't going to be enriching, or whether or not they are or aren't going to be allowed to basically continue on with this, or whether we feel great with it. I haven't heard any, I don't want to say this, I haven't heard any facts come out about the deal when it came to calling the ceasefire, other than we thought that it was destroyed, so we're just going to back out. Because Ayatollah and everybody else in the IRGC damn sure wants to continue to just bomb the crap out of Israel and continue to build nuclear weapons. Now, they're saying that their nuclear energy is peaceful, for that matter. There was one uranium site over inside of Iran that was not struck, and reportedly that's where all the Russian nuclear scientists were hanging out at. So the question is did Iran use them for human shields? Were they spinning up uranium in that site? What the hell was going on? And I don't have answers for you at this time. I wish I did, but I don't. All that information is not exactly being made public, so while we all want to know what happened, we quite frankly don't. But what we do know is that the Ayatollah is going to continue on with his little uranium enrichment extravaganza as soon as they're able to undig it and get all of that crap up and running again. When we go over to Gaza, the IDF actually ended up issuing a new evacuation order. Now, we saw airstrikes increase yesterday up over in the Jabalia area, and Gaza City actually started to get some airstrikes as the sun started to go down last night. At the same time, we ended up having a bunch of leaflets that got dropped telling everybody to get the heck out of Dodge and go over to Al-Mawasi. Now, people are complaining, saying that there's not enough space for all of these Palestinians to go down inside Al-Mawasi, when in fact, it's perfectly safe for them to go down there right now. As long as they're within the humanitarian aid zone, they're not doing anything crazy, they're going to be fine. The airstrike that ended up taking place over inside Al-Mawasi, last time I checked, ended up taking out a very senior level leader inside of Hamas. And that took place last year. Other than that, the place really hasn't been touched. Nothing's been going on over there, despite the fact that we've had reports of airstrikes and things like that going on over there. Now, deeper inside of the Gaza Strip. Oh, hold on. Deeper inside of the Gaza Strip, just outside of Gaza City, when you go up over towards the Mediterranean Sea, there's a cafe over there, and it's called the Al-Baqa Cafe. people are complaining, saying that Israel conducted an airstrike on that particular cafe. And I've seen reports of anywhere between one and like 50 martyrs, right, that ended up getting killed over inside of Gaza in this one particular airstrike in the cafe. Problem is, it doesn't look like it was an airstrike. And I pulled this video and I've been looking at it. Here. Now, what they're saying over inside of this site, and again, to me, it doesn't look like it got hit by a frickin' bomb, not at all, like not even remotely close. What they're saying is that Israel ended up dropping a bomb on that particular cafe for no reason. That it was nothing but a bunch of refugees that were hanging out over inside of the cafe, and Israel decided to just randomly drop a bomb on it. Oh, I can't even read your name, man. I'm going to have to get my glasses back out. All right. E.A. Monfrier. When you can, please say a prayer for my coworker. He's in an induced coma because he was electrocuted while on the job. Oh, my gosh, dude, that's horrible. Holy cow, man. Yeah, Lord, please look after that gentleman and take care of his family and help to ease some pain in their hearts. Amen. Wow, dude. That's freaking wild. I'm sorry to hear that. That's rough. That's rough, man. Yeah, linemen, I don't think, get enough appreciation for what they do. It is, like, truly, truly dangerous. Seriously dangerous. That is, that sucks, man. That's just not good at all. And, you know, like, truthfully, it's, like, one of those things. Like, a couple years ago, there was, like, a movement. I think it was maybe during COVID where people were going around and buying, like, blue-collar workers, like, coffee and things like that just to thank them for what they do because they don't really get enough recognition. And that's a prime example of what's going on. You know, like, we look at, like, military, law enforcement, firefighters, and all with due respect that ends up coming out of that and saying, like, these are the heroes of our society. They're doing good things, keeping our country running and keeping us safe. And the reality is those workers in the first responder field or in the military are actually putting their lives on the line to keep this country running. So many linemen, so many people in that industry, dude, even people that keep your internet running on a daily basis end up getting like killed at a pretty high rate that are like maintaining those buildings and industries. They are like pretty high risk jobs. And I don't think they get a lot of recognition for them. And it's really sad that stuff actually takes place. And it sucks just to be able to keep things running. But if we were to get back over into Gaza, sorry about that. I don't know, man. You know, I had a brother-in-law years ago that was a firefighter. He didn't lose his life on the job. He actually lost it in a different incident. Loved the man to death. Really, really good dude. Sister's a firefighter. Brother's in law enforcement. Pretty much the entire family was in the military. And you really do, like, it really puts those things in perspective where it's like, people that are risking their lives every single day here in the United States of America, you really don't think about it. You really don't notice, but it really keeps everything running. It just, I don't know, man. It just, my heart, I don't know. It just, it touches my dang heart and soul. Gaza last night. This is Gaza City last night. After the leaflets ended up getting dropped, telling people to get out of there. Now there's videos of these leaflets actually like floating all over the place. Wow. That question. Ghost Jahar 556. Matt, will the USA actually own Gaza like Trump said? I don't believe so. No. The USA isn't going to own Trump, or the Trump isn't going to own Gaza. The USA isn't going to own Gaza. And I'll tell you exactly why. All of the different US territories that we have, all right, and all of the different locations that the US governs, right? We have, what is it, 57 states and territories, I believe, like all together combined. 56. Dang it. My one off. Listen, basically, if we were to do that and go over and take Gaza and turn it into a U.S. territory and we're to go over and take care of them, we are directly responsible for these people, right? Constitutional rights, things like that would apply. We'd have to worry about integrating people into society. And this is the same thing that Israel has to worry about. This is, I think, why Israel continues to push for a two-state solution over there. You guys are going to have to excuse me. My eyes are burning out. So you get blue glass light, Matt, this morning. Gaza is continuing to, like, I don't know. There's a lot of fighting taking place over inside of there. You've got people that are targeting the humanitarian aid workers. You've got people that are targeting the humanitarian contractor or the contractors, the U.S. contractors that are delivering humanitarian aid. Now, if all of those people end up coming out, right, or if the U.S. starts taking over or if Israel starts taking over it, this is the issue that ends up coming into place, is those people end up getting rights, right? We're not just talking about like voting or anything like that that takes place, but you're talking about like freedom of travel, right? To go between point A and point B. I really, really doubt the United States of America wants to take on that massive risk because no other country in the area wants to. We still haven't heard in this new like reconstruction phase where everybody's going to go. Last week, all of the rage was that there's a ceasefire that's about to take place over inside Gaza. And what we ended up learning was the requirements that Hamas had laid out towards Israel in order to release all of these hostages within the next 2 weeks. It was like huge headlines, like Gaza war will be over in 2 weeks and blah, 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 blah. Well, the problem is that in order for that to actually happen, what Hamas was demanding is that Israel pull back out of the Gaza Strip. And that was actually put out last year, that there's not going to be another ceasefire and not many more hostage releases unless that occurs. And Hamas has stated that time and time again. So is Israel going to get all of their hostages back within 2 weeks? No, I highly doubt it. But the question is as they continue to push and as they continue to clear through, right? Because we've got lots of airstrikes that are taking place over here. Look at this. So as all that continues to happen, right, as all of this goes on and Israel eventually pushes through and clears out Gaza, well, where are all these dang people going to go, right? Because afterwards, they have to take, they have to rebuild, they have to reconstruct. Now, originally, we heard that they were going to be going into Syria and that they were going to be moving into humanitarian aid camps that are already built over inside Syria. There was a rumor like 2 months ago that all of the civilians are going to get moved over into Libya and get basically trafficked through Cairo and get pushed out that way. I saw reports of Palestinians that were being allowed to leave the country. Australia took in a couple of them. Other countries are allowing them in as long as they have sponsors. Israel is working in the area of Rafah, taking people as long as they have like approved visas and sponsors in another country, processing through, shipping them to the airport and sending them out, flying them away. But you still have an estimated right around like 1.8 million people there. Right. And that number does not include the 100,000 that ended up fleeing and going into Cairo that just got out of Gaza through the tunnel system smuggling network. However, and it's being reported that the amount of money that they paid to get that done is actually insane when I read about it, which makes me wonder how many of those Egyptian military people would get paid off. Anyways, yeah, it's pretty bad. And so we don't know where they're going to go. What is being rumored is that Trump has zero confidence. And I heard this over the weekend because I think the most likely course of action is still over in Syria. Let me get this pulled up. Give me 1 sec. Got to get out of here. So the most likely course of action that we have going on over here is likely going to be that all of the Palestinians, all right, are going to end up getting pulled out of Gaza. And they're likely going to end up getting shipped up into Syria inside of some of the Jelani HTS-controlled areas. People are referring to Jelani as the president of Syria. He's not. He's still a terrorist. He's still like the de facto leader, all right? And you have all this other crap going on. Now, we were all very upset a couple months ago when Trump ended up meeting up with Jelani, and we ended up stating, like, this is bullshit. How can you have, this guy that's killed, you know, countless Americans, responsible for the deaths of countless freaking people over across the Middle East, genocide and all the other crap. How can we have that guy actually running Syria, right? And how can Trump be meeting with him and trying to make things work? And what it looks like is it was kind of a twofold plan. And this is Matt's prediction that number one, we ended up doing that as the United States so that we could have a decent bombing route going over into Iran. Not that Jelani would be able to do anything about it, but by kind of like backing Jelani, it keeps the IRGC out of Syria. Ayatollah ends up losing like a little bit of control over the region. He ends up getting thrown out, like all the other crap, because the IRGC is not allowed to operate in there, right? And at the same time, we have a place for these Palestinian refugees to go. Because I'll tell you what, they're not going into Libya. They're not going into Egypt. Jordan's not taking them and Lebanon's not taking them. Nobody's taking them. But what we do have is we have several UNRWA facilities that are scattered basically across like Western and Northeastern Syria, and these places do have the capacity to fit tons of Palestinians in there. So the question is, how the hell are they going to get between point A and point B? Now, this is not going to be a forced immigration. They're not going to tell anybody to go, but if they want to go, they can go. Other than that, I got a feeling that for the safety of the Palestinians, when we go over and we look over inside Israel, that just as we're seeing right now, with everybody being kicked out of Gaza City, and just to kind of like orient you guys a little bit, you got Gaza City all the way up here, all right, in the northern portion of the Gaza Strip. And they're being told to get the hell out and start heading down over into here. This is general vicinity of where Al-Mawasi is, as you guys can see it over on the coastline. So all these people are going to have to be pushed and migrate all the way down there. Once they get in there, they're going to be closer to the bulk of the humanitarian aid distribution sites anyway, so that's a good thing. how they'd be able to get their aid that way. And they'll be able to go down and into, you know, like camp or anything like that. They set up a safe zone all the way down here in Rafah. So great. Right, we'll shove everybody down on Wasi and then we'll push them down over into Rafah and they can hang out down there and they'll be safe and sound, right? Problem is that's not what's actually being reported right now. What people are coming out and saying is that the IDF is murdering people and being ordered to fire on them. I heard this morning that there was an official investigation that's supposed to be taking place by the IDF looking into the allegations of IDF troops being ordered to fire on Palestinians that are going over to get humanitarian aid. It's likely another false accusation like we've seen numerous times throughout this war, but either way, the IDF is being transparent about it and they're going to look into it. So if that ends up coming out to be, I'm sure that particular commander that ordered that is going to end up getting fired and maybe we'll hear about it. There could be a kernel of truth to that because what it appears to be, all right, what it appears to be is that those people that were stacking up to get their humanitarian aid were being attacked, but it appears that they were getting attacked by Hamas. Now, the other week, I ended up showing you guys a video. What was it? Last week, I think. Let me show you this real quick, because I also saw something else that ended up coming out today, and I heard it a little bit last week. Let me make sure that this is an up-to-date video. I want to make sure I got you guys the right one that everybody's talking about. And I believe it is this one. Yeah, let's get this up here. I can't do the music, man. But reports of Hamas fighters that are taking control of the humanitarian aid inside Gaza, right? Like, this is what's being reportedly coming out right now, is that the humanitarian aid was all being hijacked by Hamas. And last week, there was a couple reports that were stating, no, we actually think it's clans. It's not actually Hamas that's stealing humanitarian aid. Well, what's happening right now over inside Gaza is you actually have some clan fighting that's taking place over in the south, and the clans are actually fighting Hamas. And the reason they're fighting them is because allegedly of the attacks on humanitarian aid, the hijacking of humanitarian aid, and overall just not wanting Hamas in charge of the Gaza Strip. So this is a good sign for the people of Gaza because it shows that they are uprising and fighting against Hamas. But it's also a bad sign because what you have here is a bunch of essentially chaos taking place. And whenever that happens and you have, I don't want to call it vigilante justice that's running wild through the streets, but you might have a bunch of people getting executed. You might have a bunch of people getting killed. You might have targeted assassinations. You might have civilians that start getting taken out by Hamas that are family members. So all this infighting is not very good for stability as it goes. But once Israel is able to push in there and get control of it, the people that are fighting against Hamas likely are going to end up getting like some backing. Now, this is probably one of the craziest things that ended up coming out. I think it was Friday afternoon that I ended up reading on this. The Geller Report actually put out something a little bit bigger on it today. And it says, media blackout, Hamas murders 12 American aid workers, others tortured in Gaza. That's not necessarily true, all right? That's not necessarily true. They weren't, all right, 12 American aid workers. I mean, I guess you could maybe swing it that way. What they actually were local nationals that were working for the PMCs, or the American private military contractors that are in Gaza, said that those private military contractors are actually like retired SF guys, retired squeals, you know, all of those other dudes that are over in there working. Love seeing the chat run over there. So many of you guys are so happy with Palestine. You guys just love Palestine so much. All right, so Gaza Humanitarian Aid Foundation actually put out the statement. They said, we are aware of credible reports that Hamas is openly targeting the Gaza Humanitarian Aid Foundation, and those who work with us. According to these reports, Hamas has placed bounties on both American security personnel and Palestinian aid workers, offering cash rewards to anyone who injures or kills them. In recent days, Hamas also pre-positioned armed operatives near humanitarian aid zones in an effort to disrupt the only functioning aid delivery system in Gaza. Now, that report specifically that they are referencing that I read last week said that Hamas was actually opening a fire on people as they were trying to move up in order to get humanitarian aid from the Americans in an attempt to deter them. And while they may have been injuring people and they may have been killing them, what we ended up discovering is that it didn't deter them. As soon as the gunfire stopped, people are still over there getting humanitarian aid, albeit just a little bit more chaotic. Here's the problem. Those reports came out the exact same time of the reports of the IDF being ordered to open fire on these people. So many of you guys are Palestinian lovers in the chat, man. I can see it today. I'm very curious. F Palestine, does that stand for Free Palestine? Is that what you guys are saying when you say F Palestine? I think that's what you guys mean. Idaho suspect named. Oh, goodness. Oh, my goodness. Man. I'm in there right now. Thank you for bringing that up to me. And there it is. Wow. All right. So Amanda just ended up sharing this with me. I'm going to put it up on the screen and get this up so you guys can see it, because they did name the suspect, it looks like, and they did end up naming that suspect over inside that incident. So we're going to go ahead and put that on the screen for y'all. This is him. Idaho Sniper. The media is reporting that the suspect in the attack on the firemen and first responders in Idaho is 20-year-old man named Wes Rowley, born in Russia. He lived in New York and Florida. He was armed with a rifle, started a wildfire, and began shooting at first responders in northern Idaho Mountain, killing two firefighters and wounding a third in a barrage of gunfire over several hours. Well, that's freaking amazing. 20-year-old, born in Russia. I wonder if we can actually find anything on this guy real quick. Let me just go ahead, because I'm just genuinely curious what my feed will pull up when I end up putting him on here. Wes Rowley. Let me see if I can grab something on this guy real quick. Why does this not freaking surprise me? Seriously, why does it not surprise me? Daily Mail is reporting that that is his name. Here we go. Looks like he was living in Arizona for a while as well. And allegedly that's him as a younger child. And throwing out the word allegedly as I look at this guy. What a freaking pile of garbage. I don't know about that one. So this is being reported as his home over in Arizona with this out there. It looks like archery club truck parked over in front of it. You can go in. Proud partner, right? Toyota, AZ Archery Club. I mean, it looks like just a regular guy. I think this is like his dad's freaking truck or something. Here they are again. All right. So spreading information about who his mom and stepdad are. Ooh, this is getting weird. It's always weird. That's his stepdad. Allegedly, this is what they're saying. Allegedly, this is the shooter's stepdad. There you go. Recent trip to the White House. There's lots of pictures of that guy that are floating around now. It's amazing how quick like people dig in and they end up getting it. I can't wait to see the information that actually ends up coming out on it and why this ended up taking place the way it did. I really want to hear some motives coming out of here. This guy's got to have a freaking manifesto somewhere. What a freaking turd, man. What an absolute turd. And just so you guys know, that those images I showed of the alleged mother and stepfather, none of that's verified. Just FYI. That's just what's floating around. So somebody also asked me, look into the private Blackhawk that ended up showing up out of Montana to help Idaho yesterday. The Blackhawk, along like the UH-60 and the CH-47, are not belonging to the federal government or the state or anything like that. They're like, I believe if I remember right, they were like contracted companies to help out with the firefighter efforts or the firefighting efforts. And that's that. I mean, it doesn't surprise me that that's what that was. So anybody that's trying to tell you that, I think that there's something a little bit deeper going into that, they're likely lying to you or not being fully honest and transparent. That's just not it. Ah, my goodness, man. What a freaking moron. Why would you do that to people? Why would you do that? Beyond me. All right, back over to the matter at hand. All right. Targets of Hamas brutalities are heroes and simply try to feed the people of Gaza. All right, what they ended up saying was that in recent days, Hamas is also prepositioned, blah, 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 blah. Look, here we go. Our local staff who keep these operations running have already paid the ultimate sacrifice, 12 murdered. So this is, of course, what we're talking about, the civilian contractors over inside of Gaza, likely retired military, soft personnel, anything like that, like Americans, all right, hired local nationals to help guard the aid. And in the statement by the, private military contractors, it was just Gazan civilians that actually have been murdered by Hamas so far. These U.S. contractors haven't lost their lives as of yet. They continued on with their statement saying President Trump has made it clear that he supports our work and has pledged as recently as yesterday to help broker a ceasefire and bring peace, which would help everybody deliver more aid to the people in Gaza. Hamas, though, through these violent and escalating threats, is showing the world it prefers chaos and starvation to peace and aid. We call on international leaders and aid groups to stand with us and the people of Gaza. Blah, 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 blah. So who's the problem over there? Well, again, we point the finger at Hamas. All right. We've got private military contractors, which you can say are a biased source, however you want to say it, but they actually are putting out information. And if you want like a, I don't even want to say an unbiased third party, but they're not partaking in the conflict and they're over there just to feed the civilians. And that's what they want to do. They want to like, I don't know, make sure people are not hungry. And they're the ones that are saying this is taking place. And they're the ones that are over there shaking hands with the Palestinian people on a daily basis. And so anything beyond that, in Matt's opinion, is kind of garbage. What I want to do is I want to open up the Discord and talk to you guys and see what you all got to say. I'm going to go over inside of there right now and just kind of link it with some truth supporters. Freaking snakes are crawling. Oh, my goodness, baby. Oh, my goodness. You guys and everything going on. Over inside of Ukraine, by the way, still keeping an eye on it. You guys remember that location I told you is likely going to just outside of Sumy, where the Russians are going to get held up and they're all going to get killed. Looks like that's 100% true. And that is like on a daily basis. I was actually watching a bunch of videos today of Ukrainians that are just completely and totally schwacking Russians over inside of Sumy, taking a bunch of them hostage or taking a bunch of them as POWs, just killing the crap out of them. So they're doing a really dang good job over inside of Ukraine, holding them back. New strikes are also taking place. I saw reports, although I didn't verify it. Maybe it's a good time while I'm waiting on people to come up. Texas, you want to come up and give like a slight update? I actually want to go over here and see if I can verify this. Saw reports this weekend of a massive drone strike that ended up taking place over the Kerch Bridge in Crimea. And they're saying that it was closed down due to that drone strike. Looking at it right now, it doesn't look like it's actually closed. Looks like it's still operating and running just fine. So whether or not that's true, subject to change. But there is reports, if we were to go over and take a look at this, of a lot of strikes that are taking place over inside of Crimea on top of everything that's taking place up over in like near Sumy, up over near Sumy, you know, where the Russians are allegedly had pushed 50,000 fighters and can't get anywhere. Large drone strikes and stuff like that are taking place down inside of Crimea. They went after aerial defense assets of Russia. Looks like they took out a massive radar structure inside of Crimea. And I saw fresh new rounds of attacks and drone strikes and things like that that were taking place earlier today. So that's what we have going on over inside of there. Texas, what's up, buddy?
How are you? Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
Doing just wonderful. What a crazy weekend, huh?
It's an insane weekend. What do you think about this Russian dude shooting
up? I didn't know it was Russian. Obviously, I just found out just as much as you did, because I just obviously heard it on your live.
Yeah.
I haven't looked into it much, but my previous background is in first responder as a EMS. You know, mm-hmm. I worked in medical. We obviously have had scenarios in New York where we did active shooter stuff, where obviously we know we're going into it, but firefighters and medical personnel, I feel like this should be like, it rages me so much. When I saw this in the middle of the night, I woke up, I saw this was going on. I was like, I started raging right away. I talked to my friends and I said, whoever that guy is, if he gets caught alive, the punishment should be like
death.
I don't know, public hanging or something.
Right,
like,
I'm with
publicly,
you.
Because this is ridiculous. I mean, the whole like shooting cops and stuff, I completely like think it's retarded. If but in the end of the day, a police officer goes to a job carrying a weapon, knowing they walk into danger and knowing that something can happen.
Right.
A firefighter goes to a job knowing that something can happen by their job, with something that they actually respond to, not by somebody just
right.
Opening up. Like they, like the, you're shooting, basically shooting civilians, but even worse, you're ambushed them. It's people who came there to save lives, and you're, what's I don't it? Know. It's ridiculous. I, is it confirmed that this guy is Russian, and is it confirmed that he has like very pro Trump?
I haven't confirmed it, man. I'm just reporting what's being put out right now. I haven't confirmed that yet, that he is in fact Russian,
okay.
But saying that's what they're saying, that his mom definitely looks Eastern European. The Trump hat guy looks like that's his stepdad. And I just got told that his actual father, hold on, give me a sec here. He worked in Idaho for his dad's company. So I don't know who his dad is or his dad's company. This is definitely something to like dive into a little bit today, figure out. But it looks like his stepdad and his mom live in Arizona. Dad's company possibly out of Idaho where he was working. Showed him traveling around the country for a little bit. Yeah. That's all I know.
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous.
No, it's nuts, man. And to do a baited ambush like that, I want to know what his freaking reasoning's for, you know? Like, what is his reasoning for doing that? Like, I'm going to find his dang manifesto. He's probably got one today.
It's crazy because it's like, it was all set up. He had a firing position. He set the fire away from the firing position so he could actually have a very clean line of sight based off the information that I've seen. Again, even we could say this was just a lone shooter guy who decided to went mental and decided to just kill as many first responders as he can. Let's say that's the story. A regular average guy doesn't know how to set up a proper ambush, especially where you're going to lure first responders and law enforcement with something like knowing that you set the fire at a certain area. You go in a certain, because fire was going to end up rising up the mountain. He knew that he had to be on a different position.
He had to be on
knowing that
the other side of the wind.
It's somebody that had to have had some sort of like looking into it or training, or somebody was taught how to do what he did, because like it's hard to ambush law enforcement and first responders because it's something that they know to look out for, and also it's like you have to know what you're doing if you're going to do it and you're going to be successful doing it. And I feel like this guy, there is no way that he's just a regular dude that figured out how to ambush and shoot this many first responders.
I'm with you, dude. I don't think he, like, I think he got some information. I think people gave him like some good intel on how to knock that out, and for him to do this all on his own, that's quite a bit. I mean, that's a lot. And I'm going to end up seeing if this guy actually has a brother, end up seeing if we can figure out where his ass is at or anything like that. Somebody's saying it's a Russian KGB sleeper cell. I don't know about any of that. The deal is
that doesn't make sense though. That doesn't make sense. What was the reason? Well, like if you're telling me that the execution of somebody in a political position or something, or an ambush or something, like, oh, there was other people that also got killed of it, and oh, he's a sleeper agent for whatever country. Okay, maybe. But this has no, like, it's just first responders. There's no like value in that, and it's not like something else happened where they were trying to draw law enforcement away from, unless we don't know about it yet, if something else happened within that area. I don't know. It's also a very strange place to do it. It's not like a, I don't know. It's just, there's a lot of things that are very strange about this.
You want to know my opinion on it?
There isn't much on.
You want to know my opinion on it? I think that the fact that we've got, you know, if I take and I just throw his name in there, one of the first things that pops up, and let me show you guys, is like I scroll through this, you start seeing the reports of his father or his stepdad, right? And his mom wearing MAGA hats. And so if this was like some operation by Russian intelligence to actually take care of this, right, or to give him some information, knowledge, and help him out with this whole thing, they can look and say that he was born in Russia. They migrated to the United States. His mom and dad kind of freaking divorced. And then this ends up being a stepdad, like right up over here. What they could actually do is they could be like, okay, well, let's get a list of all of our Russian born citizens. And then they do the background research on all of these people. And then they know that pictures like this, if this is in fact his stepdad and his mom, are going to be the ones that end up making like the big headlines, right? So when you look at the different types of operations and stuff that they're conducting, it might not necessarily be to instill fear or anything of that nature, but just something that's going to grab the nation's attention, which clearly they did. And then the moment this information drops, they leak this, right? They leak this information coming out that they're Trump supporters, MAGA supporters, whatever, trying to make them seem like extremists and divide our country further.
But wouldn't that be a bad view for the public?
What do you mean?
Like if it's Russia trying to like Like, is it like this would be like what are they, what's the outcome of this to show MAGA people?
Can you prove it that Russia did this? I can't. And no, I highly doubt anybody else can right now as well. And the thing is no, it's to cause the same crap that we've been seeing, like violence in the United States, and make people you basically, like how you would picture like infighting in a war zone, but all we're doing is sowing discourse, making the MAGA crowd seem extremely radical and all of those other things, right? Because if you can destabilize our country, then you can start drawing attention from the other crap that's taking place.
Mm.
That's what I think.
So it's just to start some more, I don't want to say, but like to start some more crap, pretty much. Like to get the Antifa and whoever else is doing things already have more reasons to keep going. I guess now they're going to be like, look, oh, these Trump nationalists are shooting law enforcement and first responders. Maybe that's why he went for first responders versus for law enforcement, because he knew that first responders, he can get more before he'll get schwacked. If you fight against guys who have guns and shoot back, you have a smaller chance of actually. Yeah. So that could be it also. It's messed up. I don't know. I also, this many shots, like from one position, without them being able to just duck and cover and realize it's coming from one direction, is also a little strange, because at the beginning they were very sure there was multiple shooters. Well, and then all of a sudden, oh, there's just one phone signal, so there must be only one.
Yeah, and that's where I start to get a little bit skeptical in this whole like situation when you start
somebody
talking
knows
about
how. Yeah, because if somebody knows how to set up an ambush, they know not to bring their phone.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So if he did bring one phone, like there's a lot doesn't make sense. I don't know.
Yeah, and I lost like view on the map of where it was at, but essentially, like I was looking for it. Like this is the general area, and I can't remember exactly the pinpoint location where it was at. I forgot to drop a pin on it last night. But essentially, like this, you know, he did pick a like short linear danger area for this ambush with like you know like two bends in the road. And so if they waited and just started shooting at that first truck driver, or whatever, it, like figuring out the direction that they're going to end up coming in, they could have simply you know stopped that first truck, and then his line of fire would have been straight in line along those trucks if you wait for everybody to get off. Right? Staying off to one side or the other.
Yeah.
And then as they go to run, and let's say you're on the right side of the vehicles, you know, like as from the shooter's perspective, they're on the right side of the vehicles, and he drops a couple guys and they go, oh my gosh, whether it was a suppressed rifle or not, we don't know, but a lot of those gunshots are going to end up echoing. People are naturally going to move to the other side, but he's still got clear line of sight. Just wait for him to bed down and they just start picking them off one by one. People are going to be paralyzed. You know, it takes for like, average person, it takes them forever to figure out they're being shot at, let alone firefighters going into a fire, been doing this in their entire lives, don't exactly know what the heck's going on, and it takes them a second to realize that they're being ambushed. And so I could perceive one guy theoretically doing this, but it does make a lot of sense to have two guys that are doing this, right, from like opposing directions. And again,
yeah, somebody commented on YouTube, I wonder if there are any ties to this and the Vegas Tesla fire.
Unknown at this time, my friend. The DC Tesla fire, or no? So there was
you're talking about he's talking about Livelsburg. I'm assuming because that's the.
Oh my goodness! Well, if there is, you know, one person's gonna find it, and that person's gonna be me. But undetermined at this time.
It's gonna take some digging. Yeah,
it's gonna take a lot of digging, and it's gonna take a lot of background. So here's the other thing. There was an Amazon truck that ended up catching fire over in Washington, D.C., like hours before this, and there was people that were stating the Amazon truck had exploded. I haven't seen anything credible saying that it actually exploded. It looks like it just ended up catching fire. There's a lot of black smoke, and people were speculating that there was a loud explosion. Could have been some batteries popping off or something. Inside of the truck, and people were like, oh my God, you know, there's a freaking explosion taking place, or a fuel tank. I don't know, man. But I haven't seen anything credible that said like the truck actually exploded. And I was looking at images of it thinking that it's a fire, you know, like there is no signs of an explosion when I ended up seeing it after it ended up getting put out. So I don't think that happened. Wukong OG3 says the ambush occurred on Canfield Mountain, just north of Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, specifically in the area of the Nettleton Gulch fire. Thank you. Thank you, Wukong. Greatly appreciate it. I can end up opening up that map. What do you think about Iran issuing the fatwa against Trump, or the? grand clerk or
you know me when it comes to this this subject, I'm just like, I have the popcorn ready and I'm waiting for these two to go at it again, because I know Trump clearly said at the press conference, not through a social media post, with his mouth to the public, said without a doubt, if they try to restart that program, he will hit them again.
Right.
And they are attempting, or the IAEA's report is they are trying to recover whatever there is to recover and restart their program. That report, if it's verified or not, I know that right after that, Trump comes out and says, hey, the so-called leader of Iran, chill out. I saved your life, but just know that we know where you are, kind of.
And then
like,
the next day, they end up issuing a fatwa. I mean, come on, man. Come on. You know? Like, seriously? Like, the man admitted to saving your life, and then you issue a freaking death sentence for him. Like, kiss off, man. You know? Here's the thing that I look at when it goes down to that report, is that it's the IAEA that's stating that we didn't knock it out, that they still have enriched uranium that's just buried that they can recover. That's only going to take them a couple months to start spinning centrifuges again. We use the IAEA reports for justification. So it's kind of odd that on one side you have the United States that's saying, no, listen, we destroyed everything. We're fairly confident that we ended up taking care of that. But the IAEA is stating, no, you didn't. And they're going to be back up knocking this out in just a couple months. Well, our estimates are we put them back years. Their estimates are, nope, just a couple months. And so if that's the case, is the United States basically going to blow off the intelligence community and the military's assessments, battle damage assessments of the particular target, and come out and say, you know what, we're going to go ahead and side with the IAEA and just start bombing the crap out of Iran again? That is the question in my mind.
To be fair, I don't really trust the IAEA as much. We especially anybody that has worked in Ukraine knows that they are very pro Russian and friendly buddy buddies with Russia. You know, they have done like, oh, the nuclear plant was safe and they didn't see any shelling. They don't know, even though there was drone footage. Oh, we didn't see that. I don't know. I think that this 12-day war is only taking a nap, is what I think.
I'm with you.
I think that Ayatollah is not going to just be like, yeah, no problem, we're done. Sorry, we got schwacked, we got hit over here, and we're done. I don't think so. I really don't think so, and I really think that Netanyahu sat with Trump and said, you know what, let's give him a chance, and it also gives everybody a minute to breathe and rearm and resupply and rethink everything. And then if they do something stupid, then it's go time again. And that's pretty much what I think.
All right. Let's see here. So Global Wire is saying that the FBI ended up giving technical and tactical support to everything this weekend. They're confirming that that's who the guy is. So it looks like they're confirming that that suspect that I had up earlier is in fact the shooter from that shooting. But yeah, I think you're right. I think that it is literally a pause. I think that Iran's going to end up getting bombed again. I just don't know how long it's going to take. I would be shocked. I'd be absolutely shocked if Israel did it on their own, but I also wouldn't be if Netanyahu is just like, you know what, to hell with this. We're going to start bombing the crap out of them again. That wouldn't surprise me. I also kind of question the IAEA, like you said, when it goes down to like kind of leaning towards like pro-Russian type crap when it goes in there, because it would be very advantageous for them and their, you know, program with Iran and everything else and all of their construction and everything, stating that no, the U.S. and their big 30,000-pound bombs didn't actually take out the freaking nuclear sites and the enrichment capabilities. Other thing that I look at is that satellite imagery that ended up showing from ISW. Grab that again. You know, the issue that I have with this and the satellite imagery within itself, and it makes me wonder, and I'm not a huge conspiracy theory guy, you know, but it does make me wonder. I mean, obviously, if this takes place, they're going to have to like do some cleanup of the site. There's probably people buried in there. There's probably a lot of destruction. There's probably a huge worry about, you know, like the cleanliness of the area and everything else. So of course, Iran is going to have bulldozers. Of course, they're going to have construction equipment and all sorts of stuff following the strike. So where are they getting the information that, you know, they're just rebuilding it and that it's going to be just fine? Have you seen any of that? I haven't. So
no, I just saw the I didn't see the physical report, but I I don't know. Like I said, there was a video going around of a 4 second clip of apparently it was the inside of the centrifuges, all the cylinders all busted up, and it was like a literal 4 second clip. And again, it was never verified. It was never claimed that it's a real video. I don't know. I'm gonna just this one. Is the one where I'm sitting back and literally eating the popcorn and enjoying, because when you remember when the ceasefire was announced and they were like, they called it the 12-day war, and I messaged you. Yep. And I said 12-day war is going to snap. Like, it's not going
yeah
to
it's
end.
A little bit
it's a pause.
Yeah,
it's
I'm
a
with you
a little pause.
I'm with you. It's a pause. Like, they're not going to have anything positive that's end up coming out of this. I'll tell you what, man, I'm willing to take, after having to work Sunday and after having such a long couple of weeks, I'm willing to take a little bit of a easy day today. You got anything else coming out of there?
No, that's pretty much it. There was yesterday a quick, interesting one in North Korea where I guess some of the dead North Koreans were shipped back and they did like a Russian and North Korean ceremony.
Of course they did.
And they, like, you had Kim Jong-un or whatever his name is, like crying over one of the caskets, like coming off the plane. They did like a proper, here, like, oh, let me find this real quick. I'll have it somewhere. Oh, and another one. So, you know, this nonsense that was happening in the concert in Israel, or about Israel in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently that guy has, I think, 29 events planned still for 2025 in the US. And apparently, according to statements or according to reports that I just saw earlier, the US State Department has canceled all of his visas and he's not welcome into the United States.
Surprise, surprise. Surprise, surprise.
So apparently that's that. Let me find the here's the North.
Now,
here, have a laugh here.
I'm going to throw this out here and just show you guys some of the things that I'm seeing coming out of Iran of alleged Mossad agents being hung. Now, this guy clearly has a rope around his neck. He's standing on a chair and everything else. And I'm not going to play the video in its entirety that shows the guy getting killed. But a lot of people are asking where that, you know, information is coming from about these mass executions over in Iran. And that's quite literally it. I mean, they're just hanging people daily in the streets. And I think that rebellion is going to get crushed. Like, whatever's over there, like, every day that ticks by is another day that those people aren't going to be able to rise up and do anything against the Iranian regime. And it's kind of sad, because until they do, nothing's going to change in that country. They're going to have to accept the fact that a lot of Iranians are going to die if that's something that they actually want to do, is to overturn the Ayatollah and get rid of him. So
yeah, take a look. I just sent it to your signal.
Okay.
Have a laugh.
Signal.
They're very, very serious moment for them, guy.
Might have to take the link and put it somewhere else. Oh dear God.
What video is this?
I got it. I got it. I can take care of it. What video is this?
It's not a video. It's just a photo. It's just a photo.
Okay.
It's just a photo of Kim Jong-un leaning over. I guess.
I hate that guy. Anyways. Kim Jong-un.
They also did
the
like
casket.
A concert. Anyways,
you know, that's not Kim Jong-un over the casket. That looks like drone footage taken out S-400s and radars.
Did I not send it to you?
Or am I looking at the wrong link?
I just sent you the last one. Look at the last one I sent you today. That
S-400s. Okay.
That was the one from the other day.
Oh, well, oh, that's weird. It's just not pulling it up. Hold on.
Okay, here, I'll check your XDMs.
Yeah, I appreciate that, because signal on this computer is not what it used to be. Hold on.
Yeah, check your XDM. It's just there. It's a St. Javelin post.
All right. This thing, get that one for you. Why do they always do, like, can you please tell your friends in Ukraine to stop putting, like, lame music over top of the different videos? Can you do that for me?
It's usually the people who post them do it. Who take the videos, I promise you.
I know.
I don't have music over any of my clips. Yeah. Not one has music over it. The ones that I've shared with people or friends and they made a compilation of or whatever, that has music.
It's so annoying, dude. It turns me off from so much. I'm like, oh, cool. Strike. Nope. Not dealing with that crap.
A lot of times, you're covering up what they're saying. So
yeah, right. Just mute the damn thing, you know, like let us figure out what we, you know, anyways, do you know Kim Jong-un, like when he's crying that all the other people are supposed to start wailing with him?
Yeah, so I went on a deep dive on North Korea this weekend. There's a guy that has done over 7,000 hours of satellite and Google imagery and stuff, like studying every major city in North Korea, and did like a little documentary about it. And I went on a deep dive, and it would be a session for you to do one day. It is really, really creepy and interesting at the same time of what's going on in that country.
Of what's taking place over inside North Korea.
Yeah. Like just a breakdown on how life is there and figuring out why there's every major city has massive squares and 8-lane roads, and there's 2 cars and 4 buses on them, and then he tracks down when it's a pretty interesting hour-long video, and once I watched it, I started doing my own dive, and it's just wild what's going on in North Korea. But yeah, I'm gonna let you go because we can go on for hours, you know that, and I have things to do, and you have a lot of things to do. So
all right, man. All right, sounds good, brother. Well, I'll see you a little bit later on. Stay safe.
We'll chat.
Don't do anything stupid. And I'll chat to you soon. I don't know. Whatever dumb things Texas does over there, man. Just don't do Texas things. You know, don't do dumb Texas things. Just stay safe.
Never. Always.
All right, man.
Later, brother.
Later, brother.
Bye.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to go ahead and end it for today. I hope you guys enjoyed this morning's episode. I hope I'm giving you guys stuff. If you guys have anything that you want to see, make sure that you guys are DMing me over on X. If you're not already following me over there, if you're not already following us over here on YouTube, I don't know what the heck you're doing with your life. Make sure that your notification bell is turned on, because when things happen, we will be there. Peace, love, happiness, and God bless, ladies and gentlemen. I am out of here.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.